Hare Krishna, today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Keshavananda Prabhuji to enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam topic. Verses is 4.9.36. Prabhuji, are you present on the call? Not see Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji was there before 5 minutes and now I could not see Prabhuji.
He was there, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji, he was there. That's why. Now he's not there. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Keshavananda Prabhuji.
Yeah. Can you hear me? I'm here.
Yes, Prabhuji. We can hear you, Prabhuji.
Okay, yeah, thank you
for that. Prabhuji, thank you so much for giving your valuable association. We are very fortunate to have your class today, Prabhuji. Please take over the call, Prabhuji.
So is my voice clear now to all of you?
Yes, Prabhuji. Prabhuji.
There are a lot of people who are on the speaker, you know, and they are not mute. So there's a lot of echo coming in. Can moderators make sure that everybody is on mute so that we can hear clearly?
Okay, so today I'm going to talk about from this verse, Dhruv Maharaj returns home. Fourth canto, 9th chapter, 36th verse. This is what was requested. So before we start, let me just offer our senses.
Hare Krishna, can you all hear? I cannot hear anything. Hare Krishna?
We can't hear
you. We can hear you, but not Prabhuji.
Yeah.
In India, Mataji, Shyamagauri Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Shyam Gauri Mataji. Vardhana Mataji or Laltangi Mataji, can you connect to Prabhuji otherwise?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Prabhuji. Prabhuji is on there on the call but not able to hear.
Hare Krishna Mataji, I think we'll have to reconnect to Prabhuji, I think.
Yeah, yes Prabhuji. We are seeing the for Mataji, Shyamagauri Mataji or for the contact, and I'm not sure, Prabhuji. I'm trying to see Shyamagauri Mataji or Laltangi Mataji can connect.
Okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna, Laltangi Mataji, are you connecting, Prabhuji?
Yeah, I have his what number. I don't know if it's India number.
Mataji, he is on the call.
Yeah, so then how to contact?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
So this is fourth canto, and we are discussing.
Hare Krishna, so Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So we started.
Fine.
I think Prabhuji, you were speaking on mute because for the conference got hang for some time.
Okay, fine. Now I have unmuted it. Now I'm audible. Huh? Is it okay?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah. Okay, so. So I just read the purport of from Srimad Bhagavatam. I think I might have to read it again, probably. Yes, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that He is supreme in joy, supreme proprietor of everything and anything within this creation, and the supreme friend of everyone. When one knows these things perfectly, he is always satisfied. The pure devotee never hankers after any kind of material prosperity. And the karmis, however, or jnanis or yogis, endeavor always for their personal happiness. The karmis work day and night to improve the economic condition. Jnanis undergo severe austerities in order to get liberation. And yogis also undergo severe austerities by practicing yoga system for the attainment of wonderful mystic powers. A devotee, however, is not interested in such activities. He does not want mystic powers or liberation or material prosperity. He is satisfied in any condition of life as long as he is constantly engaged in service of Lord. Lord's lotus feet are compared to the lotus wherein there is saffron dust. Devotee is always engaged in drinking the honey from the lotus feet of the Lord. Unless one is freed from all material desires, he cannot actually taste the honey from the Lord's lotus feet. One has to discharge his devotional duties without being disturbed by coming and going of material circumstances. This desirelessness for material prosperity is called nishkam. One should not mistakenly think that the nishkam means giving up all desires. That is impossible. A living entity is eternally existent and he cannot give up desires. A living entity must have desires. That is a symptom of life. When there is a recommendation to become desireless, it is to be understood. This means that we should not desire anything for a sense gratification. For a devotee, this state of mind, nishpriha, is the right position. Actually, everyone of us already has an arrangement for standard material of comforts. Devotee should always remain satisfied with standard of comforts offered by the Lord, as stated in Isopanishad, Tena Tektena Bunjinta. This saves time for exhibiting Krishna consciousness. So, I'll just start this class now. But before that, let me offer Mangalacharan. Om Agyanatimirindasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshunulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurvena Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Vitale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Bhagavani Pracharine Visheshya Madhipaya Sardeshtari. Anyway, so Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I think this is the context of Dhruva Maharaj, which we are all discussing. And I have given few lectures on this very topic. And it's an interesting topic because there were so many nuances and subtle points in this topic. But especially in this verse, which is spoken by Maitreya, Dhruva completes his prayers and Maitreya begins his discussion with Vidur. And Maitreya says, this verse is specifically focused on one point. If you want to have a takeaway point from this verse, that is that a devotee never asks anything from the Supreme Lord. And that's what Prabhupada mentions in his purports. He uses the word nishkam or nispriha. These words are used in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says the qualifications of his devotees. Nispriha. Nispriha means, ni means not, spriha means to touch. Spriha means to touch, to connect. So a devotee is not connected to the enjoyments of this material world. He is disconnected from that. So that's what Prabhupada uses these two words. It's interesting to note that this is the message from this verse. The true devotee is nishpriha or nishkam. Nish means not, kam means desires. A devotee has no material desires. And Maitreya begins his discussion with Vidura, and he makes this very point. And he derives this point from the whole incident of Dhruva. Now the point is, from the incidents of Dhruva, we learn so many things. But if somebody asks you, say, oh, okay, fine, what is one thing which is the most important thing which we should learn from Dhruva? What this whole incident is trying to teach us? What's the essence of this incident? It's Maitreya's opinion. The whole teaching from this incident is a devotee should not ask anything from the Supreme Lord. He should be determined only to serve Lord. And by the way, in the previous verse you might have all heard, Dhruva is actually lamenting, why did he ask anything from Lord? Why he's exchanging, why he was asking some pieces of glass Supreme Lord can give himself. That was the whole point there. So Maitreya Muni, he makes this point, and he starts with the word na. And so this word na, this indicates that Maitreya is saying that, well, a devotee never asks anything from Supreme Lord. See, he quotes Dhruva. You see Dhruva. Dhruva is so much remorse and so much lamenting even after having darshan of Lord. He's lamenting, why did he ask such useless things? In fact, I mean to say, Dhruva asked empire even more than Brahma. Now, this in material estimation is so it is a big desire, by the way. But the whole point is, Dhruva is lamenting even for that. Why did I ask so many things? After having darshan of Lord, he got that sense after seeing Krishna, that here is a person who is so beautiful, so satisfying, and who is so close to my soul. Why I am asking all these things? His stool, he actually, Prabhupada says, Dhruva could now understand this whole material world, including everything, even up to liberation, simply a stool. That is a pure devotee. Pure devotee is not interested in anything in this material world. Devotee is not interested of anything which belongs to this material world. Even up to his own body. Absolute no interest. That is called nispriha. Spriha means interest. Spriha means touch. Spriha actually means touch. Prabhupada says nispriha. A devotee's soul never touches matter. Never touches senses. It never touches mind. That's a devotee's soul. A pure devotee has absolutely no interest in this material world, just as the Lord has no interest in this material world. And that's the point, by the way, Maitreya will make ahead in his Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's why he says no. No, devotee never asks anything. Because he doesn't have interest, well, he doesn't ask anything, isn't it? A child will not ask you anything if he doesn't have interest. Whatever he is interested in, he asks that. He says no. So well, now the question, now somebody might question, well, maybe a devotee might ask, a person might be in doubt, might be in certain circumstances a devotee could ask something. Suppose a devotee is in danger, he might ask for help, or a devotee might lose something, or he might ask for actually regaining it. Are there any conditions, maybe exceptions, where pure devotees ask something from Lord for their own self-interest? Now, here's the point. In this na, Maitreya Muni is saying that the devotee doesn't ask anything for his own self-interest. That's very important to understand. Anna vilashita shunyam, nothing for self-interest. So actually, that verse, anna vilashita shunyam, Rupa Goswami doesn't say anya avilash shunyam. He says anya avilashita shunyam. Now he adds that word ta there. Now, commentators comment on that. Jiva Goswami says, why does Rupa Goswami say anya avilashita and why not anya avilash? So, the explanation is, so if Rupa Goswami would have said anya avilash shunyam, then it would have mean, shunya means no, nothing, zero. Anyavilash means no desire. But he says anyavilashita shunyam. Now there are two meanings of this. One is he adds ta because he wants to emphasize the devotee doesn't want anything. Anything. Anything means anything. Devotee want nothing. Nothing means nothing. Even his subconscious mind, even his soul, right to the core of his soul, a devotee doesn't want anything. That's a devotee. It's not that in his superficial mind or by intellectual adjustment, he's trying to convince himself that I don't want anything because his material world is nonsense. No, it is very spontaneous for him. That is anya vilashita. It's very spontaneous for him, that is, he doesn't want anything. He's not interested. He's not even interested in being interested in this material world. That's a pure devotee. He doesn't have time, by the way. He doesn't even think of this material world. He forgets this material world. I mean to say, to be interested in this material world, you have to remember this material world. To be not interested in this material world, still you have to remember this material world. But a devotee simply forgets this material world. He's absorbed in Krishna's service. That's what a devotee is. Krishna smaranjar deha smriti nahi ar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. He forgets his body, he forgets his this material world. He's simply absorbed in serving Krishna. That's the meaning of forgetting there. He's not even interested in being interested in this material world. He's not even interested in being not interested in this material world. That's a really higher platform of pure devotion. So, that's why he says no. That's why Rupa Goswami says anya vilashita shunyam. Of course, another meaning of anya vilashita is, he adds ta because Rupa Goswami wants to say that he's free of all selfish desires. That is ta, anya vilashita. But of course, desires for service of Lord, that is infinite. Devotee has infinite desires to serve Lord, infinite plans, infinite projects to serve Lord. But as far as his own selfish desires or swarth, no, he doesn't want. So that is a devotee. No, that is the point now here. So, well, can a devotee ask in exceptional cases? Maybe in exceptional cases, a pure devotee might ask for his own selfish desire. Well, Maitreya Muni says no. Why? Why? The word why is used certainly. Maitreya Muni says certainly. There is no doubt that the devotee will never ask from Lord for his selfish desire, for his selfish interest, even up to the point of death. even up to that point, he will not ask anything. That is now why. That is why he says certainly. Maitri Muni says, I am certain. I am certain. There is no case in history, there is no documented case in history where a pure devotee has asked anything for his selfish desires, to fulfill his selfish desires. There have been no case about that. So the question is why? Why a devotee doesn't ask anything from Supreme Lord? Why? Even in danger, why? Because the word uses Mukundasya. So Mukundasya means Mukunda. Mukunda is one of the name of the Lord. There are so many names of the Lord, but the name used is Mukunda. Why? Because Mukunda means, this is a very famous name, often used in Srimad Bhagavatam and prayers of devotees. Mukunda means Mukunda, Mukti Dadati Iti Mukunda. Mukunda, da means Dadati, to give. And Mukun means Mukti. So a person who can give liberation, the Krishna can give liberation. Krishna can just distribute liberation freely to everyone. That's the power of Krishna. Liberation which is sought by Brahma and Shiva and yogis for millions of years, Krishna can come and he can just throw this liberation on the road and people can pick up and go. That is Krishna, Mukunda. Liberation serves his lotus feet, Mukunda. He can give liberation. So the idea is, a devotee understands Krishna has supreme power. He can give liberation. If Krishna can give liberation freely, what to talk of material things and material sense gratification? Everything is under his dominion. He can give, he can take anything. He is the supreme person. Devotee understands this. Because a devotee understands Krishna can give everything, devotee comes to this conclusion, why to ask him anything? Let him decide. Mukunda, let the giver of liberation decide what is the best for me. Whether liberation is good for me, okay. Whether liberation is not good for me, okay. Whether some material things are good for me, okay. Why to ask? Let him decide, let him manage things. Let him give me whatever is necessary for my temporary earthly life in this world of matter, in this body made of flesh. For how much time I am here, let him give me. And that's the best for me. Otherwise, if I ask something, it is, first of all, I don't know how much beneficial it will be for me. Second of all, it will be a shame to ask something from the Lord. because if we ask something from Lord, then it is implied that we are trying to say that Krishna doesn't know what to give. That's the whole point there. Yeah, that's interesting. Krishna ka phone hai to. Huh? To phone ko cancel kar diya.
Curtains.
How? So, the whole point is devotee understands this fact. It's a shame. It's a shame on the Supreme Lord that we ask him something and it feels like. If you ask something from Lord for a selfish desire, it seems that you are trying to imply to Supreme Lord that he doesn't know what to give you. That's the whole point. So that's the whole point there. So that's why the name Mukunda is spoken now. The whole idea here is the devotee will never ask anything from Supreme Lord because he understands the name Mukunda. So now here the question is, here the question is, actually Srila Prabhupada also gives one of the, so Srila Prabhupada also gives one more meaning of Mukunda, and that is, he is a sustainer of all living entities. If you go on folio, if you see the name Mukunda, you will find sustainer of all living entities. Why he gives this meaning? Because the point is, he can give liberation. This means he can give anything. So the point is, Krishna wants to give. That's the whole point there. Mukunda, he likes giving. A devotee understands this fact also. This is one of the hidden meaning in this name, Mukunda. Krishna likes to give, dadati. He likes to give. So when he likes to give, he's giving to everyone in this material world. He's giving, he's sustaining everyone in this material world. He's supplying all the needs of this material world, even without asking. Already he's doing that. So why should we ask from Krishna any other more obligement? That's the whole point, isn't it? A devotee understands this fact about Krishna. These are the facts about Krishna which are hidden in this name, Mukunda. Mukunda. These are the facts. A devotee already feels so grateful that Krishna has given me so much, and he also wants to give me liberation. He is ready for that, provided we are ready to accept it. So why to ask for him more? Why to make him ashamed of the fact that such kind of devotees like us exist in his devotion? Krishna will say, what is this? Why these devotees, they don't even understand this fact about me? Am I not powerful? Am I not intelligent? Do I not know how to sustain everyone in this planet? Do I not know how to sustain devotees? Do I not know what to give them? That's the whole point in this Mukunda. Devotee understands this, so he never asks this. Okay. So now the question is, does he ask something? Okay, devotee doesn't ask anything for a selfish purpose. Fine, that's fine. But does a devotee ask anything for the service of the Lord? And if yes, then what? So the next word is Padarvindayo. A devotee will always ask one thing. Please give me your lotus feet. Pada means lotus. Pada means feet, Arvinda means lotus. Please supply, please give me shelter at your lotus feet. That's what his number one and the only desire of a pure devotee. The foundation of all desires, all infinite desires and plans and projects of a devotee is this desire: I want the shelter of your lotus feet. Now the question is, why he wants the shelter of lotus feet? Why doesn't he want shelter of his beautiful palm? Or why doesn't he want shelter of his beautiful hands? Or why not he doesn't want shelter of his beautiful eyes? Why only lotus feet? In fact, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in Adi Leela, he makes this point. No matter in whatever rasa a devotee is, except Dasya Rasa. Of course, Dasya Rasa, they are spontaneously inclined to get shelter of the lotus feet of Lord. No matter whatever Rasa, even Sakhe, even Madhure, even Vatsalle. That's the whole point. Even Vatsalle, even parents of Krishna, they want the shelter of lotus feet of Lord. And he quotes there, he quotes the example when Krishna came to Kurukshetra. And there were so many gopis, and there were Nand Baba and Yashodama, Vasudeva and Devaki, and I think Vasudeva and Nand Baba and Yashodama, they had discussions with rishis, and they said, well, fine, you know, we want Krishna back in our Vrindavan, and we always want to think of his lotus feet. They make this point. We always want to stick to his lotus feet. Even parents, you see, in the capacity of the parents, they don't really think of taking shelter of lotus feet. But now because the parents are in extreme grief and extreme separation from Krishna. So in this position, they are asking the shelter of lotus feet of Krishna. They are saying, well, even if you think Krishna is Supreme Lord, for us he is our son. And rishis were trying to convince them that he is Supreme Lord. But Vananda Vaishoda said that even if you think Krishna is Supreme Lord, fine. He wants the shelter of his lotus feet. Let him be with us. You see the point there? So, devotees want the shelter of lotus feet. Why? Now, why lotus feet? Why not hands? Why not thighs? Why not lips? Why lotus feet only? Gopis are singing. Gopis are also thinking of lotus feet of Lord. When Krishna is in forest, we know Gopi Geet. So why lotus feet? Because lotus feet represents the service of Lord. Service. No matter whatever rasa a devotee is in, the foundation is only service. Without service, Madhurya Bhav is simply some entertainment or lusty affairs. Without service, Vatsalya Bhav is simply a worldly affection of mother and son. Without service, Sakya Bhav is simply some mundane friendship. Without service, Dasya Bhav has no existence at all. So that is why they want lotus feet, because their whole desire is, let us always remember how to serve you. Let us always remember that our lives exist to serve you. We are your servants in this material world. We want to become your servants in this material world. Please accept us as your servants. This is the whole point. That is the only single desire of a devotee. That should be the only desire of a devotee. And then on this desire, many other desires build up. It's like a foundation and a building builds up. Please, Krishna, let me serve you. Okay, how to serve you? By preaching, by temples, by books, by this and by that. So many projects, so many missions, but this is the only thing. But then Maitreya says, well, Rajo Jushas. So Rajo Jushas means, well, Maitreya says, well, we don't want the shelter of your lotus feet, but we want the shelter of the dust of your lotus feet. Rajo means dust, Jushas means eager, Jushas means enthusiasm. We are enthusiastic to take the shelter of the dust of your lotus feet. That's what is the whole point. Not your lotus feet. Now what does dust represent? Mahaprabhu also says, Ainanda tanujakin karam itama visham eva pamada kripyata papada pankaja sthita dhuli. Please place me as a dust of your lotus feet. Now, that Maitreya says, we want to become the dust of your lotus feet. We are eager to taste the dust. We want to serve the dust. And what is the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna? The dust of lotus feet of Krishna, pure devotees. And we want to become the devotees of your devotees. That's the single most desire of a devotee. That's the single most desire of a devotee. Devotee wants to become devotees of devotees. That's what devotees desire. Hare Krishna. So actually there was one saint, an Islamic saint, by the way. I think his name was Ibn Zahir, his name was like that. He is a very famous saint there. So once he was sitting, and an angel came to him, and he said that, well, so that angel was writing something on his paper. So the saint asked him, what are you writing? The angel said, I am writing the list of the friends of God. So that saint asked, is my name there? So the angel said, no. So then he said, okay, write on the list at least that Ibn is a friend of God. Write that. So the angel wrote that and he went back. And then he came back and he said that that the Lord has told that your name should be written on the first line, because one who is the friends of my friends, he is the greatest devotee. So that's the whole point. That is Rajo Jushas. That is what a devotee desires. The dust, to actually serve the dust of the lotus feet, to serve the devotees of the Lord. And that's what Krishna says. One who is my devotee is not my devotee, but one is my devotee is my devotee. One is a friend of my friends. Krishna says, one who is friend of my friends. From Krishna's perspective, devotees are not his devotees, but Krishna considers them as friends, just like Prabhupada considered his disciples as students. So Krishna says, one who is the friend of my friends, he is the greatest devotee. That is Rajo Jushas. So the whole idea is, what is devotee asking? It's asking the lotus feet of Lord, but more than that, he's asking the dust of lotus feet of Lord. So then Maitreya uses the word Tath, and Tath means my dear Vidur. So Maitreya immediately remembers, I'm talking about serving the devotees of the Lord, and here is a beautiful devotee in front of me, Vidur. Maitreya is discussing with Vidur, and Vidur is one of the Mahajanas, and he's now addressing Vidur. You are the most perfect devotee, and I want to serve you. That's the whole point. So this tat word in Sanskrit, it includes sneha, it includes affection. So that's the whole point. A devotee develops affection not only for the Lord, but also for his pure devotees. That's why he called us tat. And then he says bhava drishya jana. That bhava drishya means, jana means devotees like you. I want association of devotees like you. I want to serve devotees like you, because only by serving devotees like you, I can attain the devotion to Supreme Lord. Because devotion cannot be understood only by books. That's not possible. Devotion comes from coming in direct contact with devotion, which resides in the heart of devotees. Just like enthusiasm comes by remaining with enthusiastic devotees. If you simply read books, then slowly we lose enthusiasm. That's why we need lectures and association. Bhava drishya jana. Now here's the point. Now one might question that, well, something devotees might be wanting. Okay, the whole question was devotee doesn't want anything. That's the message of Maitreya. And we just showed devotee doesn't want anything for a selfish desire, but he wants, but he has a desire to serve Lord. So does devotee want anything material? Maybe not for selfish desire, but okay, fine, devotee doesn't want anything for selfish desire, but does he want anything material or not? Or is not absolutely interested in anything material? So Maitreya says vanchanti. Well, he sometimes, in exceptional cases, a devotee might ask something material for the service of Lord. Generally, a devotee doesn't even ask. Generally, a devotee doesn't ask anything material for the service of Lord. But sometimes he might ask. And the classical example given is Chitraketu. Chitraketu, he was a king. And in next life, he became Gandharva. And he asked the Lord, let me become Gandharva and give me so many dancers and singers, and I will glorify you in this material world. That's what he asked. Or like, for example, Kardama Muni and his wife, Devahuti. They asked for a son like God. So that's something material. That's not a material desire, but that appears to be material desire, but it's not material desire, because it was for the service of Lord. So devotees might ask something, some material things, but for the service of Lord. But devotees never ask any material desire. There's a difference between material things and material desire. There's no material desire. Material desire means selfish desire. But a devotee might ask something material for serving Lord. And Krishna gives happiness to them, these things. So that means vanchanti. But absolute pure devotion is, they will not ask anything. nothing material. What they ask is tad dasyam. Tad dasyam means we want to become your servants. We want to become your slaves. That is the aspiration and a hope of a devotee. That's what Raghunath Goswami says. I have hope against hope that one day I will be called as your servant. That's beautiful. Actually, a devotee rejoices in this fact that one day I will be called as servant of Supreme Lord in the entire material universes, in the 14 planetary systems. That is his success. In that he feels successful. And that is, he rejoices in that fact. He delights in that fact. He hopes for that day where Krishna announces to this world, yes, he is my servant. He's my servant. So just like every boy or every child has a dream, okay, one day people will call me Bill Gates, or people will call me the King of Pops, for example. So devotee has this desire, people will call me as a servant of Krishna. Well, they might kill you for that fact, because he's servant of Krishna, servant of God. But that's another point. But at least you will be famous as servant of Krishna. That's one thing. So, Panchanti Taddasyam. They want this Rite Artham Atmano. This word Rite Artham is a very famous term in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Upanishads, in Vedas. And that verse of defining Maya, this word comes Rite Artham. Second canto, 9th chapter, I think 10th verse. Rite Artham at Pratiyate na Pratiyate cha Atmani. Tad vidyar atmano mayam yatha bhasya tathama. Defining Maya, Krishna says, Rite Artham. Rite means without, Artham means value. What is Maya? Maya means two things. Anything which appears to be to you as having no value, then in spite of the fact it has value, then you're in Maya. What Maya does is it makes valuable things appear as invaluable, and invaluable things appear as valuable. This whole material world is invaluable and it will appear to you as valuable, but whole spiritual world is valuable and it will appear to you as invaluable. That is one function of Maya. Another function is na pratiyate cha atmani. Anything which appears not connected to me, that is Maya. So that vision is Maya. These two things, this word is used there, rite artham. So Maitreya says, what is the desire of devotee? Why Maitreya is aspiring not for lotus feet of Lord? Why is not asking lotus feet of Lord, but why is asking the dust of lotus feet of Lord? Dust represents his devotees. He's saying, Krishna, I want your devotees. Why? Because they have these two qualifications. Because they only ask for being servant of God. They just don't ask. So this vanchanti word is different from ichchati. Ichchati means they desire. But vanchanti means they delight in that desire. They hope. They really want it. They are actually dying to have it. That's the meaning of vanchanti. Vanchanti is a higher grade than ichchati. There is an intense desire. So they have intense desire to be called as servants of Lord, to be accepted as that. And second is, the speciality in devotees is Rite Artham Atmano. Atmano means self. Rite means without. Artha means value. They don't want anything which is having no value for their own self, for their own spiritual interest. Here self might mean soul, self might mean God also, which is there in second canto. Rite Artham, yat pratiyate na pratiyate cha atmani. There atma is word used. The self of self is God. Especially when this word atmano is used in context of devotees, it always means God. Mostly, Prabhupada here defines atmana as for themselves. For themselves means for God. For devotees, for themselves means for God. Just like a lover might ask something for himself, but actually he's thinking of his beloved. So if he says, give me something, in his mind he's thinking, oh, I'll I'll give this gift to my beloved. You see the point there? So, a devotee, the characteristic of a devotee, second characteristic is he doesn't ask anything which is not connected to the Supreme Lord, to the service of Supreme Lord. That's the whole point. Rite Artham Atmano. He's always asking something which is connected to the service of Supreme Lord, which will help him to serve the Supreme Lord, whether it is matter or whether it is spirit. That doesn't matter at all. So these are the two characteristics. So that's why my trick is, I want the association of devotees because they have these two beautiful gifts with them. One is the hope and the delight and the intensity to be called as servant of God, to become a servant of God. And in fact, so there was one saint, and he was sitting, and his friend came, and he said I am always praying to God that please accept me. And that saint said, are you not ashamed to say this? That's the whole point. Even this prayer, please accept me as your servant, can be wrong, can be actually wrong. Because he made the point, are you not ashamed to ask, please accept me, without doing any service to the Supreme Lord, without offering any service to the Supreme Lord. Have you done anything for God that you, without doing anything, you are asking, please accept me? What's the point of this? Without actually going, without preparing for the exam, and you say, please pass me. What's the point of that? There is no point of this. So, that's the whole point. Even this prayer, please accept me, has no value. Actually, not necessary at all. So it has no value at all. So you see the whole point. Devotees of Lord have two beautiful gifts which you cannot get from just reading books. You have to associate with them, or you have to read their books or their commentaries and their thoughts. And their so just like we read Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada's purports are Prabhupada's mind and Prabhupada's ideas and Prabhupada's aspirations, and then we can understand. So they don't just want to become servants of Lord. They are dying to become servants of Lord. That enthusiasm to become servant of Lord, that intensity to become servant of Lord, that dyingness, that hope to become servant of Lord, that they have. Otherwise, the information that we want to become servant of Lord, that we all of us have, that even a new person has, you can simply read in the book and say that. That's not the whole point. That is vanchanti tad dasyam. That's what they have. That's what Maitreya Muni knows. That's why he says, I want your association, Vidur, because you have that in your heart. And Rite Artham Atmano. And you also have the conception, the wisdom. You also have that wisdom to discriminate between illusion and Krishna. That wisdom, not just knowledge. We all have knowledge. This is Maya, this is Krishna, this is this, this is that. But the wisdom is totally different thing. We have that wisdom, what is valuable, what is not valuable for the self. You can discriminate. Like for example, so I gave you this example of, please accept me as your servant. This might seem as a good prayer, and it is a good prayer. It is the only prayer we pray. But at the same time, the wisdom says, if this prayer, please accept me as your servant, is devoid of any action or any real service to God, it is a wrong prayer. I mean to say, it doesn't make any sense. And that's why Prabhupada says, first deserve and then desire. You see, Prabhupada said that. So that wisdom you have, this is what devotees have, and that is what association, that is why all the scriptures say sadhu sam, sadhu sam, sastra. Otherwise people can read books. But of course, if you read Prabhupada's purports, that is also association with Prabhupada, and you can get that. In Prabhupada's purports have these two things, not just information, these two things. That makes Prabhupada's purports unique. And that is why people change by reading Prabhupada books. And then Maitreya makes the point, well, now here the question comes, okay, that's fine enough. So how will a devotee maintain his life? How will a devotee earn, and how will a devotee eat and shelter and food if he's fully in the service of God, if he doesn't ask anything from God? So then Maitreya Muni says, yadrichaya labdha mana samriddhi yadrichaya. Automatically, everything will be supplied to him. Labdha mana samriddhya. Automatically, everything will be supplied to him. Labdha mana. Whatever desires a devotee, pure devotee has, it will be fulfilled by the Lord. And as far as samriddhya, as far as bodily maintenance is concerned, forget about that. Krishna will take care of it. That is no question of thinking. If Krishna doesn't care, take care of bodily maintenance and the earthly life which a devotee is leading, Krishna has to be ashamed for that, because he is a master and we are his servant. We are serving him in this world, in this material world. We are serving him in this earthly realm, and he's a master, and we are putting a full energy to serve him. Why will not Krishna put his full energy to help us lead our life in this material world, which will be conducive to his service? So if you give your full attention to Krishna, Krishna will give full attention to you. If you try to glorify Krishna, Krishna will glorify. Krishna will make sure that you'll be glorified. And if you surrender to him, Krishna will surrender to you. Surrender to you in the sense, from his perspective, Krishna feels, I am surrendering to my devotees. If you serve Krishna, Krishna will serve you. In the form of giving his protection and mercy. That's what Krishna is. That's why this verse is talking about all the dynamics of not asking anything from Lord. That is the message of this verse. A pure devotee never asks anything from the Supreme Lord. And what exactly he asks from Supreme Lord, that also Maitreya Muni explained there. And the whole dynamics of asking, that is this verse talking about. The dynamics of asking from the Supreme Lord. What to ask, what not to ask, when to ask, and exactly why to ask, why a devotee is asking, what he's asking, why he's asking, all these things. That is the conclusion of this verse. That is the conclusion. And why doesn't ask anything, that's also mentioned in this verse. All these things we have discussed today, and that's the message of Maitreya. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So is there any questions? I've completed here now.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhano Sunams, very, very beautiful class, very deep. Thank you so much for your deep realizations and explanation of the Sanskrit verses. So Prabhuji, question is, two questions. Yeah. One is, how about when praying for the, for example, some other devotees, they are having bad health or problems in their life. So how about praying for them, for the Lord? And the second question is, it's okay, I mean, this quality of not asking anything from the Lord is fine, unless and otherwise we are put into a critical situation where, like Uttara, she says that I'm ashamed, but I still have to ask you. That's high level. That a close family relative, critical health issues or some other issues, like basically we tend to pray to the Lord. So how?
Well, I got your point. Well, you see the point. If any devotee is not good health or whatever, now there are some kind of situations here, but generally, a devotee doesn't ask anything from Supreme Lord. He might pray for that devotee, or he might pray that, oh my Lord Krishna, please help him so that he be guarded in this material world. Please do the best for him. That's our prayer. That's our prayer. Now that best might be Krishna might have planned for him to leave his body. That might be best for him. Or Krishna might have planned that he should suffer now, because that is the best for him. Because by suffering, he might exhaust all his karmas or whatever Krishna might have planned. And in this very life, he'll come back to him. So the point is, we can't interfere in the plans of the Lord. So we pray to him, please do the best for him. That's what we pray to him. But as far as sometimes actually Srila Prabhupada told his disciples when he was sick, please pray for me for my speedy recovery. And at that time, disciples can pray because it is an order of Guru to pray for him, not in the capacity to ask from Supreme Lord from their own will, but because in the capacity to fulfill the order of the Guru. Then that's fine. That is okay. But the rest, devotee will never ask anything from the Supreme Lord because we don't know what are plans of God and we can't interfere in his plans. But nevertheless, actually comes out there. So nevertheless, we pray to the Supreme Lord for devotees, whether they are healthy or not unhealthy, it doesn't matter. Because this body is actually inconsequential. We pray for all devotees, please Lord guide us, all of us. And we always pray for others. And please do the best for this devotee, whatever you feel the best is. That's what my prayer is. So that he will attain you as quickly as possible. I think that's what a pure devotee is all about. He leaves the matter to Krishna. He is the best judge. But our prayer as a devotee is please accept him as your servant as soon as possible. That's our prayer. Nothing to do with body, nothing to do with this matter of flesh. Doesn't matter at all. So these are the two cases when a devotee should pray and not pray for the health of the devotee. So is it clear?
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dana Pranam, glorious Krishna, Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, you were telling first we need to deserve and desire. Means, yeah. In the beginning we should desire first, yes. And then how we can understand this?
No, in the beginning, first we follow the orders of Guru, and that is why to be connected to Parampara it's important. So the Guru says, okay, chant, read my books, and do some little service, and then our desire makes sense. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. So, okay, so are we supposed to pray, please accept me as your servant? So when we are a new devotee, are we supposed to pray like that? When we are just chanting few rounds, doing some service, are we supposed to pray, please accept me as servant? Well, frankly, we can say, Prabhupada says, please engage me in your service. That's a good prayer to start with. And then, when we do substantial service for Krishna, when we're doing service day in and day out, then slowly we can pray, Krishna, now please accept me as your servant. So it takes a little time to switch on from that prayer, please engage me in your service, to the prayer, please accept your servant. And that's what Mahaprabhu says. Fourth verse is Nadhanam, Najanam, Nasundaram. Please engage me in a service. Fifth verse is, please accept me as a servant. So we can pray, please accept me as a servant, but then we have to do some service. Otherwise, or we can say, Krishna, I'm chanting rounds, I'm reading books, I'm trying. So if you think it as proper, then please guide me how to become your servant. That's a good prayer. Please accept me as a servant. That's a very big prayer. And we have to think about that, because then you're demanding from Lord that, yes, Krishna, I have done ample amount of service. And we accept him, because Krishna can always argue, what you're doing for me? What you have done for me that you're asking me to be accepted as servant? My servants are Prahlad and Dhruv and these great devotees. You have done so much for me to become servant of God, to be called a servant of God. That's the aim of life. So as a devotee, we pray. So as a devotee, we are on the fourth verse now. Please engage me in your service. Or better than that, you can pray, please don't reject me. That's the whole point. Please accept me as a servant. That is a very high prayer. Better for us at this level is, please don't reject me, because I'm not doing any service for you. I'm doing some minimal something, some rounds, and this. So this prayer will be suited to us now, and Krishna will be happy. Yes, good, good. And then when he will engage you in his service, then slowly, then you will have that deserving thing. Then you will deserve for. Then you will become qualified to pray this. Please accept me as servant. So this is how we should work in our devotional service. The relationship with God is very sensitive, and we have to know what to pray exactly to Lord so that he becomes pleased. The idea is not just to pray. The idea is to pray so that he becomes pleased. And that's how our prayers are. Is it clear?
Yes, Prabhu. I have another question regarding. And when we desire even for to follow the spiritual master instruction, we need to have that in the beginning. Yes, Prabhu. Otherwise, we have so many material desire. We can desire for spiritual things, and then slowly. Means I didn't get the first deserve, and yeah, that is the things for very high level. For my level, I'm thinking to follow the spiritual master instruction, to practice the bhakti. Also, first of all, we need to have a desire. Yes.
Oh, like that? Okay, fine. Yeah. Of course, to follow. Yeah. So that's a very different thing. You have to have a desire to serve Guru, and that's a different thing. So this first deserve and desire, that is spoken in the matters of prayers and not in the matter of following the Guru and instructions. That's a very different proposal altogether. That's okay.
Yes. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I just want to follow up on this discussion. There were a couple of things. One is you said that it's okay to pray, please do the best for, you know, either some devotee who is having difficulty or even for myself, you know, my own spiritual life, you know. But it seems to me that just as it seems superfluous to ask Krishna to provide for our bodily maintenance, you know, because he already knows what we need.
Yes.
So why would it be necessary to even ask for spiritual things? You know, he knows we are aspiring devotees.
Okay. I exactly understand your question. Fine. So the answer for this is, we should aspire for spiritual things, because Krishna knows what he wants to give, and that is okay. But when we aspire for spiritual things, our desire to become connected to him gets nourished. And that's why he wants us to pray to him for spiritual things. Because when we pray to him, when we crave for his service, then our connection with Supreme Lord becomes more strong. Just like parents know what to give to child, but when the child asks and he cries for parents that I want this, then the relationship becomes more strong and more bonded. So for that, Krishna wants that we should pray to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing.
So therefore, is to nourish the relationship, the connection.
Yeah, right.
So, therefore, if we pray to him for our bodily needs, right, for the sake of doing our devotional service better, isn't that in the same mood of nourishing the relationship?
What's that?
If we ask Krishna, we pray to him also for our bodily needs, for the sake of being able to, you know, do our devotional service, you know, better.
Okay.
Let's say I have laryngitis, you know, so I'm not able to chant as I would like. So wouldn't it, even though it was a bodily need?
No, actually, we don't ask. No pure devotee asks for it. Let's say Bhakti Santa was very sick, but he didn't ask to Krishna. But suppose if you have laryngitis and you can chant, you can't chant. So you should ask, please Krishna, give me strength to chant, rather than asking, please cure this laryngitis. That we can ask.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the difference is just that you don't tell Krishna in what specific way.
So that thing we can ask, that, okay, fine, give me strength.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's something. So yeah, so now it's come. I think there was some connection problem. So devotee will ask for the strength to chant and to remember him rather than to cure his disease or whatever problems.
Therefore we should be avoiding making specific requests, even though. Even though those requests may be for the sake of our devotional service.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. That's not our idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the idea.
Okay. Yeah, because Krishna knows the best way for us to do our devotional service, so we don't have to tell him, right?
I mean to say Krishna might have planned laryngitis for you.
So
that's his plan, so that this devotee will get laryngitis, and but then if you're asking cure laryngitis, you're interfering in his plan.
Yes, yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, excuse me. So actually I want to end this call because I have another meeting there. Mataji, can we end this call?
Yes,
here?
Sir.
Anybody?
Thank you so much for the beautiful class, and we are very, very fortunate to have you on the call today. Such a beautiful class. You explained how to pray and what to pray. It was so nice, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we offer all obeisances to the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpa Taro. పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవృందకి జయ నామాచార్య శిలాయ జయ ప్రభుపాద కేశవానంద ప్రభుజీకి జయ. థ్యాంక్ యూ సో మచ్.